Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Diva Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we are continuing our conversation with Jamie Lineberger, co-founder and owner of Lineberger & Associates. And when we were on the show together the last episode, we spoke about specifications and getting a product specified and all the things that go into that, which is a perfect segue into what we wanted to talk about today that Jamie has an incredible depth of knowledge on. And that is I'm going to read my notes here because I don't want to flub this up. The importance of standard-based specifications. And so I'm not even going to begin to try to explain that. So Jamie, tell me, what do you mean by standard-based specification?
Well, some standards that we are all familiar with are ASTM. We're here in America. ASTM standards, European, they have the DIN. When it comes to specifications, sales guys a lot of times go into a municipality, here's some donuts, here's my product, here's the name of my product. I brought the best donuts, wink, wink, and the best coffee, wink, wink. And suddenly that public works director has said, oh, this is a great product. Is he's eating his donuts and the product is in and it's being used. However, I would rather have an ASTM F1216, ASTM 1743, pick an ASTM that deals with CIPP, manhole rehab, products like that, lining pipe. A standard can't be swayed with coffee and donut because the standard is written. The standards are updated. Standards have a core group of industry knowledgeable experts that are always reviewing them, making sure that they are current, making sure that they are up to date with other standards that are being updated and revamped. And so that creates an always current specification for municipalities to rely on. They're not in a day and age where cast in place manholes or CIPP bag liners are being used in manholes. You don't have municipalities saying, well, this guy years ago brought me donuts and he specified coal tar. So let's put that on because his donuts were good that year. So
I know. It sounds silly, but you know, it is the reality of the world.
Yes.
So when we were talking about standards, I'd like to get in, you know, when people are listening to these podcasts, I always tell folks, whenever you're delivering information, always be thinking about station WIIFM or WIIFI, you know, it's like, what was it? No, it was MMFI. Make me feel important. That was the other one. So what's in it for me, WIIFM, the only station they're really tuned into. Let's just face it, in today's world, when you're across the table selling to someone, whether you're selling a car, a box of bananas, CIPP lining, a chocolate bar, no matter what it is, or Girl Scout cookies, because they're out there on the streets now in front of the supermarkets. But yeah, no matter what you sell, that person across the table from you is thinking only one thing. So what's in it for me? How's this going to make my life better, easier, let me sleep at night? Because we know when it comes to municipal projects, everybody's very risk averse, you know, risk is a pretty four-letter word. And so, you know, you shared with me a little bit about this, and this is what I really want to bring to light on the show, is that, so what's in it for the municipalities, we'll deal with them first, of having a standard-based spec?
They can sleep at night. having a standard-based specification will allow you to put out your specification. Manufacturers that have products that meet those ASTMs, contractors that are installers of, let's run with CIPP liner. They know the product. They look at the specification. They look at the bid and they say, oh, okay, so we've got these ASTMs are specified. My product meets those ASTMs. I can meet this bid. So the municipality has put out a solid bid that is based on standards, and those standards will get you a quality product. You don't have to rely on Jack and John's plumbing to come in and install something that you're not quite sure of that doesn't meet anything, but because they brought great donuts, you think it's a good product. So a standardized specification based on standards will allow that municipality to sleep at night, to not have a bid that is contested because it's approved or equal. You can just write the specification, use the ASTMs, and it's a clean specification because as long as the product meets the ASTMs, there's no question. You're not having to deal with bidders who are going to protest it because, well, it wasn't my product or it wasn't this or having some other excuse. And I think at the end of the day, municipalities want something that is cut and dry, that they don't have to worry about, that they can produce a solid bid, publish it, have their product, have the product put in the ground, have their pipes and manholes and other things rehabilitated, pay the bills and go on to the next project.
So they can use that same standard over and over and over again for like projects.
Absolutely.
What I'm understanding. I would also think, and you know, verify this for me, does it help them, you know, when they're putting it out for bid, that they're not going to be forced to take the lowest bid, you know, when they have that standard, that they're getting exactly what they need. They might choose the vendor who can install it for the least amount of money, but that the product being put in the ground, it's not going to be based on all around low bid. Because
absolutely,
I think they also need to look at total cost of ownership too.
Absolutely. That's very important. Absolutely. And total cost of ownership becomes a huge deal with municipalities because that money that they're putting out for those bids, that's approved by city councils. That's approved by city managers. That money, that's all taxpayer money that they need to be fiscally responsible for. And when they're looking to get pipes and manholes rehabilitated in a city, they want to know that they're getting the best bang for their buck. And when you're relying on a standard-based specification, you know that you have gotten something that is tested, it's a proven product, and the standard is met, and you've got a great bang for your buck. Absolutely.
So now let's flip to the other side. How does having these type of standard specs help the manufacturers and the contractors who are trying to sell to these municipalities? I would think it would level the playing field a little bit more.
Yep, because there are more than one manufacturers out there that meet certain ASTM. Since we're talking, you know, pipe, let's continue with the CIPP vein here. So CIPP, cured in place pipelining, meets several specifications. You've got F1216, 1743, F2019. So you've got products that meet those standards. They're manufactured meeting those standards. They're installed meeting those standards. The contractor knows that he's buying his pipelining material from his manufacturer. He knows the standards that it meets, and there's no guesswork in a specification. When you're looking at a you're looking at a bid, the contractor's looking at the bid, he knows exactly pretty much where to go to look for the ASTM standards in the bid, and he knows there's no question if ASTM F1216, F1743, and 2019 are specified. Oh, I do felt, I do UV, I do a little pull in place. Perfect. I meet the standard. I meet the specification. I can bid this job. And then all he needs to look at in depth would be the other add-ons that maybe the municipality has specified, which aren't necessarily in a standard, but they're city specific. And if your contractor is on the municipality's, say, approved contractors list, if they have one, then he knows, oh, I'm an approved contractor. I'm familiar with this city. They've got 4 or 5 nuances that I'm already familiar with, not a problem.
So that it saves him time on bidding on things that he doesn't even have a chance of winning.
Absolutely.
Can't meet the spec. And so understanding the specs, you know, because a lot of this stuff is very legalese or very, you know, engineering speak or engineered speak.
Yes.
How hard is it for cities to start incorporating this into the process and understanding it and making sure that they're doing it correctly or calling out the right standards to make sure they're covering all their bases, I guess I'm asking.
Correct. ASTMs are, you can use an ASTM. You could literally just say, here's my project and I'm going to specify ASTM F1216, 1743, and F2019. And you could leave it at that. I mean, that's very simple. You could leave it at that. Say, let's figure it out, people. However, there's a little more to it. So the ASTM standards help municipalities if they've never done a bid before. There are some nuances that they need to know. And hopefully knowledge has been passed down so you know that there's cleaning involved. And when you have manufacturers and contractors and municipalities all on the same page, you're going to have knowledge passed between them. And the standards also specify that cleaning needs to be done, videoing needs to be done. There are certain things that have to be done that are already specified within the standard. And so a municipality, when they're creating their specification, a lot of times they're just broadening that scope to fit the nuance to say, well, okay, you know, over here, we need to let the homeowners know that we're going to be doing bypassing today. And because we've got a large municipality, we're only going to allow bypassing in the evening time. So work can only be done at night to line this pipe while no one's flushing the toilet or doing dishes and washing clothes. So there's just a little nuance that goes into it. But sometimes if you have a municipality that's not quite sure where to go, or a contractor that's not quite sure to go or how to write a solid specification, consultant that write them can come in and help and say, this is how we can make this better. This is a good spec. Let's make it a great specification that you can use everywhere. And that helps the contractor, because then the contractor, when they're looking for projects, maybe municipalities don't have any projects currently out to bid. The contractor can send his salesman. He can go visit and say, look, here's a specification for cured in place pipe. Oh, we've never really used that here, says the municipality. Here's a specification. Make it simple. The municipality looks at that specification that's already been provided. It's written around a standard that he's familiar with possibly, and you can go from there. And that helps the contractor, because he's supplied the specification that he knows the manufacturer of the product that he uses can meet. The municipality knows that that is a standardized specification that is used around the country, and it works.
Because a lot of times, I'm just hearing maybe some people bristling at this, because there's that old term, and you're familiar with it, specsmanship selling. Just like, you know, the donut story is you go and you get a champion on the inside that's going to develop that spec to include something that maybe is your secret sauce that nobody else has, so that you get that leg up. And so, like we were saying earlier, it levels the playing field. But I love that idea of, this is a different way to do specsmanship selling. It's creating the spec for the municipality, knowing that you've got all of those secret ingredients that meet that spec that are to his advantage.
Absolutely.
So it's just another way of doing it that, like you were saying, is much cleaner and keeps everybody honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At the end of the day, that's what you like to have, is everyone's working together and everyone's honest and everyone on the same page, and you know what you've got. And it eliminates risk for everybody.
Because it's a third party that's put together these standards, not someone coming up with their own rules.
Or exactly.
This is how the product's going to, no, it can perform to these standards. And if it doesn't, okay, well, then I'm in breach of contract.
Yep, exactly.
So everybody's protected. I like this concept very, very much. And so have you actually done some consulting work with helping cities and or manufacturers to develop these types of specs based on standards?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Even for clients that we have had and currently have, a lot of times when we first started out, we had clients that were very adamant. I want my name in that specification. I want my name. I want my name. I want to see my name in light. Woo! And my dad and I were always, no, you don't want your name in lights. You want a standard-based specification, because like I said, the guy may have better donuts that comes in tomorrow. And if you have a standard specification and your product meets the spec, your contractor can bid the work, you manufacture the product for that job, and the municipality knows it's got a good product. So yes, I always let my clients know, yes, I understand having your name in lights. That's always great. But I would rather your company have longevity, because in a day and age, and I saw this widely popular or unpopular at the trade show recently in Indianapolis, where a lot of companies were purchased by larger companies, venture capitalists. And so they became a small dot on a larger map. And some of them, their names disappeared or they weren't as well known. However, your product meets an ASTM standard, and that standard is specified, your product, with or without the name, can be used to rehabilitate manholes and pipes and still be used and still be valuable and viable in 2024 and beyond.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jamie, thank you for sharing this insight with our audience today. It opened my eyes to a different way of, you know, looking at specs, because it is, you know, a little, I call it like highbrow. You know, that's something the engineer at those big firms, they take care about writing this. But,
right,
you know, what I'm hearing is that, guess what? Really doesn't be that complicated.
No, it doesn't. And it's not.
Going this route.
Don't tell anybody.
No, I know, but it's that, you know, they're using a consultant such as yourself, or, you know, maybe do it themselves. But this just seems like a much more streamlined and better way to go to, let's just face it, at the end of the day, municipalities just want the best thing for their community. They want to make sure it's going to perform. They want to make sure that they can afford it, that they can get the work that they need done, but that they're not buying something where they're putting a Band-Aid on it, and 10 years later, they got to come back and they're dealing with the same issue again. Let's get what we really need instead of just getting what we're getting based on, oh, it's the cheapest thing.
Exactly.
We have to look at it, because I even think residents, you know, I live in a real small community, and there's been a lot of reports that, you know, the consensus is we'd rather you do less and do it right than do a whole bunch of it and then be back here 10 years tearing up our neighborhood doing it again. It's that, you know, penny wise, pound foolish, I guess, that old expression, or pay me now. And so, I think this is just one more approach that can really help cities get what they need. And even I also see this as, this approach is something that is really going to help the manufacturers and the contractors that are doing a good job, that are doing the right thing, to win more business the right way.
Absolutely. And a lot of times municipalities don't understand that you can put a bid out and have a contractor bid on it, but as a consultant, and this is a role that I as a consultant absolutely love, is helping municipalities understand when you're saying they want to get the most bang for their dollar. They want to get what will last. They want the project completed and they're looking to budget the money. A lot of times I can go in as a consultant and help with a maintenance agreement. And those are great ways for municipalities to get a good solid contractor in using a standardized specification and work to say, here's an evaluation of what needs to be rehabilitated. This is how much money we have. Go and fix what you can this fiscal year. And this is the amount of money that you can spend fixing the things in our municipality. And as a consultant, that is in my wheelhouse as well.
I love it. So for those of you who are listening, Jamie, who are interested in learning more about, you know, what we've been talking about today, maybe tapping into this expert resource in Jamie, how can they get a hold of you?
I'm on LinkedIn. You can certainly reach out to me there. My cell phone is 386-846-9719. And my email, jlineberger@gmail.com. Reach out. I'll help you.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for being on the show. And this is a great topic. And for those of you listening, I've got a surprise. We are going to be bringing Jamie back again on another topic. It was how we actually met in the industry. And it was in the field of CIPP. And so when she comes back on a future episode, we're going to be talking about how CIPP changed the world. Ooh, love it. And where CIPP is going, because we've all of us have been around for quite a while, have seen a great many strides in CIPP and, you know, where it's been, where it's at now, and where it's headed. Lots of good stuff to talk about. And so again, Jamie, thanks for coming on the show. And thank
My
you
pleasure.
For tuning in. Until next time, keep it flowing. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.